All right, all right. Here we go. Another edition of Talkin' Dodgers brought to you by Rot Your Brain. This episode is sponsored by Command Creative Studios. Looking to jump into the podcast world and start making your own content? Command Creative Studios is your one-stop shop for professional podcasts. With a team of audio engineers, music composers, and graphic designers, Command Creative Studios can get your podcast sounding professional as well as looking professional. For more information, please visit CommandCreativeStudios.com. Don't forget to click that like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus.
Like a virus.
Let's jump right into it. Actually, wait, hold on. Is everybody ready to talk about baseball, or we want to talk about football still? We good to go?
We can go into baseball.
All right. Here we go. This is what's on deck.
I thought about it, but no.
We're going to talk a little bit of Yamamoto and his troubled start. Otani, MVP breakdown. This is supposed to be taken off. Anyways, Tony Gonsolin's making some strides. We're going to recap the Dodgers-Rockies series, and we're going to preview the Padres-Dodgers series coming up.
It's a big series.
Max, what's our magic number? Go.
I have no idea.
Dude, this is your thing. Why would it be my thing? You're supposed to tell me what the magic number is.
Why would that be my thing? I'm a Yankee fan. We already clinched.
We talked about this. Oh, God.
We didn't talk about anything. We're talking about football.
I'll look it up.
Look it up. Somebody look it up.
Why would I?
All right, I think we got six games remaining. Let's see. Otani's quest to now be the founder of the 55-55. We're just going to say it right now. So Otani's got 53 home runs in 55 games with six games left to play. I think it's definitely possible for him to get two more home runs, especially because they're going into Colorado. It's a far stretch to hit 60-60, so I don't think we're even going to play that game until he actually gets 55-55, and we can look at it from there. Hey, maybe the first game of San Diego, he wants to make a statement. He hits two homers in the first game, knocks to 55-55, and then we can look at the remaining five games. All right, let's talk a little bit of Yamamoto.
Hold on. Magic number is four.
Magic number is four. Ooh, I was really hoping to be lower than that. But it is what it is. That's any combination. So that means the Dodgers win one game. That's two numbers right there. They get knocked off. Then it goes down to two, just to let everybody know how this works. I think that's how it works.
Exactly how it works.
It's exactly how it works. All right, so let's talk about Yamamoto's last start. We're gonna talk briefly about this because I want to talk a lengthy conversation about Otani and his MVP numbers. All right, so Yamamoto's last start did not go the way we had hoped it would. It looked like he took a step back. He only lasted three innings, gave up five hits, four earned runs, three walks, four Ks. But the biggest trouble with it was he threw 79 pitches and only 47 of them were strikes. He had two innings where I think he threw at least 30 pitches, which is not very good for a guy who's trying to, like, you know, bounce back from an injury. Overall, I feel that's the kind of start that you see from a pitcher where you get bad news in a couple days. And I'm kind of really dreading that we're going to hear something that we're not going to want to hear before his next scheduled start. He only has one more scheduled start before the postseason. And we had him banked as our number two. That is not a quality performance.
I'm going to bank it as just he had a bad outing.
You think it's just a bad outing?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, he was missing his spots. Really
I think he
bad.
Just had a bad outing. Bad outing.
Okay.
I think it's just a bad outing.
All right. So you're not worried about it?
No. No, I'm not. I'm not worried about him. I think it'll be all right. I think, I'm not worried about it. I think it's just a bad outing.
Okay.
I mean, he's still coming back. He's just, you got to remember, he's only went, he's gone one extra inning per start, I think, right? He went three, then he went four, then he went four. He went three innings this one. So
four, four, and three.
Yeah. So I think it's just had a tough outing.
Okay.
I mean, his pitch counts have gone up a little bit, 59, 72, 79.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think the goal was to stretch him to 80. Yeah. So they were hoping to get at least five innings out of him.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's just a bad outing. I think you'll see him go up like 85 pitches and hopefully get into five innings the next start.
What's scary is his next start's going to be in Colorado.
Why is that scary?
Because it's Colorado, man. You barely touch the ball and it's a home run over there.
Well, he better get his
act together.
Yeah.
All right.
Step into Robbie's office so you can step up like the rest of the team we did.
Jeez. Okay, let's move on. All right, Otani MVP breakdown. Max, you and I were having this conversation yesterday. And I feel like I should have pulled some stuff up for that I was going through back and forth. Remember we pulled up the side-by-side?
It's the other guy in Atlanta, right? Right now, it's between him and the dude in Atlanta.
No. I mean, most people are Francisco Lindor, but yeah. He's been hurt, so he kind of
that kid that's he's got like 70 stolen bases and like.
Oh, De La Cruz?
No, De La Cruz is not part of the conversation.
Nobody cares about
that. No, it's not De La Cruz. He's in Atlanta, I think.
No.
I just saw a thing on it today on Major League Baseball. He's like leading the league in average. He's like number two.
Ozuna?
Yeah, Ozuna.
No.
Yeah, Ozuna's not going to get
MVP votes. He just hit singles, man.
No, he has a lot of home runs. He's a power hitter.
Oh, Ozuna. Okay.
Yeah, he's a power hitter. Atlanta might not make the playoffs. Has he helped Atlanta maintain after all the injuries? Yeah, but I can't see him getting any MVP votes. The only person that could have gotten some push was Lindor, but he got hurt this month. So now if Ohtani doesn't get a unanimous, it makes no sense. Like, there's no one worthy of voting. Lindor was worth it because their wars were very similar.
Yeah.
You know, but now, since he got hurt, now Ohtani has... war is an 8.4 to Lindor's 6.4. That's huge. That's two games that Ohtani's worth more than you know,
I mean,
his replacement. And Lindor's second, so there's nobody even close to Ohtani right now in the National League.
The fact that he's in a league of his own with the 50-50 deal, like, and then the game he had to break it open, I don't know how he can't become MVP.
Yeah, he definitely has it locked in, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, look at these numbers.
It should be unanimous, too.
These numbers are, like, they're insane. He's got 184 hits. He's got 34 doubles. But he has 7 triples, 53 homers, 123 RBIs. He's walked 78 times. What was the other stat that really popped out?
Well, having those numbers is one thing. What really glaring, Robbie, is the gap between him and the next person
Lindor?
In the National League. No. Like, for example, in home runs. He has 53 home runs. The second guy is Ozuna with 38.
Yeah.
That's a huge like gap. Like that's the kind of stuff that's really shows you why he's probably one of the greatest players you'll ever see. And on top of that, he's third in the National League in batting average at .301. I know you guys complain about his crazy swing spin sometimes. But in an age where everybody is happy at .250, he's still batting .300.
No, it's definitely impressive. Yes.
And then RBIs. The second place guy is Adames in Milwaukee at .110. He's at .123. And the season's not even over. So he's separated himself so much in the National League. And we're not even talking about any of the advanced stuff like adjusted OPS. I already mentioned his WAR. His slugging is ridiculous. He's slugging .640. The next guy is Marte in Arizona at .566. That's like almost 100-point difference, which is huge. So he's far and away the best player in the National League. And, you know, I think it was Bob Costas said last week, if you like eliminated the Hall of Fame and said, we're bringing in the 20 best baseball players of all time, Ohtani would be one of the 20.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
That's huge praise from a baseball historian as Bob Costas. So that's how good this guy really is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Max bringing in the facts, man.
Let's bring in, I got to do it because you and I talked about it a little bit, Max. The side-by-side comparison with Judge.
That's when it gets ugly.
So look, Judge I agree
so far
with you.
Ahead in pretty much every major statistical.
You can't
statistical.
Say he's so far ahead because he's not so far ahead, but he
All
is ahead.
All the advanced stuff, it's through the roof. We talked about, for example, WAR. We talked about how Ohtani was an 8.4 and he had a 2-game lead over the second place guy, which is Lindor in the National League. Judge's offensive WAR is an 11.2.
Okay, wait.
It's almost 4 games better than Ohtani. That's how valuable and how great a season Judge is having. He's putting up numbers that when you look at it historically from all the advanced metrics and everything, we're talking about stuff that Babe Ruth was doing because hitting is down overall, and he's so far ahead of everybody in pretty much everything,
sure.
Slugging, on base. The last time a player had a gap like that was Babe Ruth playing with people when they didn't even hit home runs. That's how historic Judge's season's having. I just mentioned Ohtani slugging at 640. Judge's 695, and he just came off of a slump. He was most of the season in the 700 slugging. So his on play and his on base plus slugging, Ohtani's a 1.023, which is amazing. Judge is over 130 points higher, 1.154. That's unheard of. I mean, that's how good Aaron Judge is having. That's why a season, and that's coming off a 2-week slump that he just had. So
I want to know what kind of really side impressive. Deal you made Max and Robbie to get into
why,
a
yeah what
you a Yankee
yeah what you bring
a,
this up for
yeah Aaron Judge or Ohtani, are we really talking about this?
I mean, I am. Yeah. I've looked.
He's a diehard Yankee, for gosh sakes. Yeah. And you're gonna ask him to put
and then
our can, boy against then, his boy, and then, you think he's gonna?
And then he brings up stolen bases, a stat that nobody analytically in modern baseball cares about. For Ohtani, of course, he's getting these stolen bases because one, he's not playing the field. He's moved himself to bat first so he can hit this milestone as a good thing to try to help the team.
How many stolen?
Judge doesn't get a lot of stolen bases because he's playing center field.
That does nothing to do with it.
Like yes, that does, and he's batting third, so. Stolen bases is not even a thing that Judge does, and he still has 10 stolen bases if you want to know. But like comparing, saying, well, Ohtani has 50 stolen bases, that is great, but you can't use that as a like, oh well, this is why he's so much better than Judge. Judge doesn't even try to steal bases because he has to save his legs because he's actually playing center field. Now, if Ohtani was pitching, that's a whole different conversation because then he wouldn't be doing all these steals because he would need his legs for pitching. So.
The only thing I'll say about the stolen bases, because I'm sure Robbie's got some stats and some thoughts on this. The only thing I'll say about the stolen bases is those 50 stolen bases that Ohtani's got puts him in scoring position where if Judge is on first the whole time, I think stolen bases mean something.
No, you're absolutely right. I think he does. He leads the National League in runs scored, and just think about that. How many times he's put himself in scoring position? That's a valuable player to have on your team. I'm just throwing that out there. Look,
that's why he's going to win the MVP unanimously.
I didn't bring this up to start a pissing war with you, Max. I was just kind of curious to kind of go over it back and forth.
He brought it up.
Look.
Come on, Robbie. Bring the heat.
I feel like because what Judge is doing, yes, it's definitely impressive for sure. And
historic.
Yeah, it's historic. Yes, let's just say it's historic. Question, though. Why is it historic again?
Because
it hasn't been done before?
No, the last...
Who's the last guy who hit that many home runs?
It's not about the home runs. It's about the difference between that he is so far ahead of everybody else in the league. The last player to have stuff like that is Babe Ruth. Right now, we're in a downtime of hitting.
Sure.
Where his numbers... compared to the
league average, what he's doing this year is so far ahead I get that.
Than anybody else.
I get
that's
that.
The big
but
difference.
But what he's doing this year has never been done before. Is that what you're saying to me? Like,
no.
What stat does he have that's never been done before? Because I could tell you what Ohtani's done that hasn't been done before.
The stolen bases.
Well, it's the combination. It's not just the stolen bases. People have done the stolen bases before.
No,
it's the combination
never done
50, of what he's
50.
Doing.
No one's ever done that. So
right.
That's a nice thing
so,
to have.
Let me ask you this. But if they were both in the same league, do you think that it's not even a conversation to be had? Do you think Judge just runs away with it?
Yeah, because
or is it a conversation?
Yes, you don't want to know why? You want to know why?
It's
because
not a conversation?
It's not. You know why? Because the way they vote for MVP now,
sure.
It's really based on the war. And every MVP has been the number one in the war, right? Because that's pure value. This player versus a replacement is worth X amount of games above the average player. Judge's not, it's not even close. It's an 11.2 games he's worth. Ohtani's worth 8.4. They would vote Judge regardless. If baseball is the only sport that has two MVPs, which some people were saying they should eliminate now that there's
in
a league.
No, we're not.
And there's no DH anymore.
What's the
point? Before there was a DH and you know, they was an interleague, but now everybody plays everybody.
They've already changed so much. Don't take that away.
They might. Some people brought it up this week, right?
The only thing I've always been like, kind of like, I don't understand why they've done this before is And it sucks because Kershaw's gotten one. I don't think a pitcher should ever get an MVP.
Ooh.
I feel like the Cy Young Award is the MVP for the pitchers.
I agree with that.
I think it should never have been. I think Tommy Lasorda was really pissed off about it too. Like when Kershaw got it, and he's a Dodger.
Yeah.
I think it should always be separate. Because here's one thing too. I find it hard for a pitcher who pitches every 5 days. Yeah. To be that valuable enough in the league, in the entire league.
I agree with that.
And like, it brings me back to when Piazza got traded. We talked about this for a little bit. Piazza got traded to the Marlins because Piazza wanted to be the first $100 million player to play baseball. I can't remember if it was just with the Dodgers or if it was in baseball in general. I believe it was baseball in general. And then the Dodgers traded him away. And then the next year they signed Kevin Brown to a hundred and some odd million dollar contract.
Yeah.
Which so pissed me off because Kevin Brown only played one fifth of the games. The maximum he would play is one fifth of the games. At least Piazza, he would take days off. He was at least playing 80% of the games, 85% of the games.
That's a valuable player to have.
You know what I mean?
Perfect example. Last year's American League Cy Young was Gerrit Cole. Of the Yankees, right? Mm-hmm. To start the season, he had an issue with his elbow. He missed pretty much the first half of the season, right? Mm-hmm. You would think the Yankees would tank in that beginning of they had the best record in baseball during the time he was out. So to your point, how valuable is that pitcher who pitches once every fifth day compared to a guy who like Judge or Otani or Lindor or Bobby Witt Jr., who's in there every day or at least, you know, 5 or 6 days, games a week. Like, I never understood that.
Yeah, I agree. There's no way
a pitcher should
win the MVP. I mean, unless they had like an under one ERA and just were that dominant and like, but
all they're going to do is help you win one fifth of your games.
Yeah.
Offensive players and help you win, depending on the longevity and how many days they get off, but at least 80% of your games, that dude could come up and you can hit a game winning home run. You can hit, perfect example. You can get 10 RBIs in a game.
He could catch a home run to save a run. He can make a great defensive play almost every day of the week, like a shortstop, right? Bobby Witt, you know how many runs he saves? Like they actually have that.
Dude, those advanced analytics,
right?
I would love that stuff. I would entertain a trade. Let's get rid of
Gavin Lux for Bobby Witt Jr.
Bobby Miller, Gavin Lux. Let's throw in Michael Grove.
Yeah.
For Bobby Witt. Yeah.
I mean, so there's no reason for a pitcher to like you said, Cy Young's for them.
Speaking of pitchers, so we're Ohtani MVP, right?
100%.
Yeah, dude. It's not a question.
If somebody doesn't vote him number, they need to people need to find out who that writer is. There's no reason for you not to vote him, MVP this year. And I know
it'll be an old school guy.
Like, he's not going to give it to him. Be MVP, right?
It's
nonsense. It's nonsense. Yeah. Like, come on.
Do me a favor. Can you pop up? I'm looking for it and I can't find it. David Ortiz came out and said something about him not winning an MVP. Did you see this?
Oh, because he was the DH. He was on steroids.
And he said he never got it. But his numbers were never as dominant as far as like you just talked about.
He was clutch though.
He was clutch for sure. But you just talked about how far ahead Judge is as far as like offensive statistics.
Yeah.
Same thing with Ohtani. How far ahead Ohtani is in the National League.
Ortiz was never even number one. I'm looking it up right now, but he had good seasons.
I know, like he one year out Rodriguez got it.
2006. He's probably talking about because that's his best year. He came in third place in MVP voting. He had 54 home runs and 137 RBIs.
Right. So, what did Rodriguez have? Is that the year that Rodriguez won it?
I'm going to find out who won MVP that year because that's a pretty solid.
Oh, that's a great stat.
You know, that's pretty much what Judge has right now. Judge has, 55 and 138?
Enough about Aaron Judge.
So he's not having an historic
Well, Judge is year. Not done. This was his full year. And back then in 2006, we're still offensive-minded. You know, the offensive numbers are down now. Justin Morneau won MVP, and Derek Jeter was second.
Ooh.
And Morneau had 34 home runs, 130 RBIs. But I could see Ortiz has a case.
You think so? Yeah.
Because Morneau played first base. It's not like he played a defensive intensive position. If he was playing like center field or shortstop or catcher, and he put up those numbers, then you could say. And, look, his WAR was a 4.3. Ortiz's was a 5.8. I remember that year because people thought Jeter in New York should have won MVP. He had a great year that year, too.
All right.
Yeah, but Ortiz has a solid case there.
All right. Well, Max, thanks for entertaining the conversation.
Listen,
I just want
the
do
real
a,
conversation.
I want to do a side by side really fast. I got to do it.
Will Ohtani pitch in the World Series?
I mean, he's not going to pitch in the World Series.
Why?
He's not going to do it.
How epic would that be for a season? 50-50, MVP, and then he comes back and he freaking pitches in the World Series.
Let's do a side by side with Judge and Ohtani really quick. I just got to do it. All right. So Judge has played one more game than him. Yeah, we're going to do side by side. I like it. It's fine. Judge has had more at bats because he walks more than Ohtani. Well, let's see. So Ohtani's scored 128 runs. Judge has only 118 runs. They're both neck and neck on hits. Judge has 176. Ohtani's got 184. Doubles are really close. 36 for Judge, 34 for Ohtani. This is where the separation starts to happen. Judge one triple. Ohtani's got 7. Judge has 55 home runs. Ohtani has 53 home runs. RBIs, 138 RBIs for Judge, 123 RBIs for Ohtani. Walks, this is where you go. So Judge has 129 walks and Ohtani has 78 walks. So Max, or I'm sorry, Mike, think about this for a second. Let's go back to runs scored. So stolen bases, Ohtani's got what? 40 more stolen bases than Aaron Judge, right? So he's in scoring position more, right?
Yeah.
But he only scores 10 more runs than Judge.
Okay, so that,
stolen
but that's not
bases are not it. An analytical
only,
thing they
only
care 10 about
more
anymore.
Runs. And he's got Ohtani's got Betts and Freeman in behind him. I don't know who does Judge have in behind him because I know it's not Soto. Soto bats second.
But that's a rookie catcher hitting behind him.
But to me, that
I'm just saying I would have thought that would have been more. I thought I would
no, just by talking you're thinking about old school baseball where
but that's a reflection of the
mattered. No, it's because back then stolen bases didn't matter because you steal second, then somebody bunts you over, and then you fly ball, you score. That's not how it works anymore.
We're not talking about bunting. We're talking about scores a guy from second base. We're not talking about bunts over.
No, even it's hard to hit singles now. It's hard to hit, period, in baseball. Now everybody's trying to swing for home runs. So you're not getting that single
launch
that's gonna bring the guy to second base. You're not doing small ball stuff to bring the guy from second base home.
I disagree.
Everybody is swinging for home runs, so that's why that number is not
and
as high
hit,
as you
and
expect.
And when they hit the wall, guess what? The guy is second scoring instead of being at third if he's at first. But
no,
here's what I will say.
I think Max is right about they care more about the long ball than they do about the average.
Fair enough.
Perfect example, look at Max Muncy. Max Muncy walks a lot. His batting average is .227 or something like that. If it was back in the day, we'd be talking about him like he was, what's his name? The first baseman for Cincinnati. What was his name? Always had a low batting average, hit a lot of home runs.
Oh, Dunn?
Yeah, Dunn.
Adam Dunn.
Adam
he
Dunn.
Was a monster.
But Adam Dunn was before his time,
dude.
Though.
He was way before his time.
Like right now, they care more about the overall stat than they do the batting average. That's why, there's like five guys maybe batting in the 300s right now?
Yeah, because Max Muncy wouldn't have the same approach if he played 10 years ago.
Yeah.
He would be a 300 hitter because he wouldn't be trying
maybe he just can't. You'd have the same approach as Dunn does right now. But
it could be
but
that
his
too.
OPS is like, what, 8-something?
Yeah.
That's what they care more about.
That's what they care
He's
about.
He's on base. He either walks or hits home runs.
Yeah, because like I was trying to say is stolen bases back when we started watching baseball mattered like that because again, a single would have brought you home, two sacrifices would bring you home. But now it's like swing for the fences. So even though you're at second base, it doesn't guarantee you're coming in. Less likely you're coming
I'm
in
just
because
saying,
they're all trying to hit home
let's
runs.
Let's back it up though. But on Mike's, for going with Mike, I feel like 48, like those 40 extra stolen bases that he has being in scoring position and
takes
had,
out the double play. There's all kinds of things.
And you have Freddie Freeman behind you. I mean, granted, Mookie Betts wasn't batting behind him because he was injured. So
for a long time, that's why
Freddie Freeman, Teoscar Hernandez, you got those guys batting behind you. You would have thought that he would have scored way more runs than what than Judge. It's really close. It's closer than I thought it would have been. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we talked about the OPS. The OPS.
What do our listeners think? Do you think stolen bases are a big deal? What do they think? You think stolen bases matter? I think they do.
I think they matter because it also puts pressure on the pitcher to do
absolutely. And it takes a double play out of the inning, all kinds of stuff.
Now, if we weren't doing the whole pitch clock, you know, radar or whatever it is. Everyone's got a pager on their belt so they can tell each other what right? what they want to pitch. It would be even more crucial because you'd have a guy having to mess up the timing of the pitcher because they have to change up the mixes with the catchers and stuff like that with the signs. So it's not as crucial having the guy standing there over the pitcher's shoulder, but it puts pressure on him knowing that, hey, a single, this guy's probably going to score. So
they did all this. We talked about this to just create more excitement in the game, more scoring, more action, right?
What happened for us is we just got Shohei Ohtani, and that's what created more action as far as on the bases.
Well, the Dodgers were solid even before Ohtani.
They were solid.
Max is just trying to downplay the Dodgers because he's a Yankee fan.
He's not.
Fan. I just said the opposite. I said they've been solid before Ohtani. Ohtani didn't make them. They've been great for a while now, buddy.
No, I know. I'm having a hard time.
All right, let's move on. Really
I
quick,
love you, Max.
If you like what you're listening to, please click the like and subscribe button. By doing so, you'll get notifications when we go post anything new. Don't forget, also, we are on Facebook. We're on Facebook, but we're also, we stream our stuff onto YouTube. So if you want to check out our pretty faces on YouTube, go check us out. Is it just still Rot Your Brain?
Can he score? It's
Rot Your Brain Media for Talking Dodgers on YouTube. We got Talking Dodgers on Twitter or X.
Yeah, everywhere. Yeah. All the information.
All the regulars. Yeah, the TikToks, Instagram, all that fun stuff.
The TikToks and the Instagram.
Let me ask you guys, why can't he hit 7 more home runs and get 60?
I didn't say he can't. I'm just saying we got to pull it back a little bit. Let's just look what's ahead. Let's get a 50-50. That's a nice number.
What is it? He's at 53-53, right?
Yeah, 55-53. He's got 53 homers and 55 stolen bases.
You want to know how crazy that is?
He can hit 7 more homers.
He had 2 stolen bases and he had a game-tying home run yesterday.
You know what the highest before this was? 43-43. That's the highest.
That was Bonds, right?
Yeah, something like that.
My boy, I was a big Bonds fan.
So am I. Yeah, I never stopped. Griffey Bonds.
He should be in the... We can talk about this in another podcast, but Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame.
They all should be. All the steroid guys, because all the pitches were on steroids.
Yeah, it was equal. I agree, Max. Equal playing field. They were both. Everybody was.
Yeah. You think Roger Clemens and Andy Pettitte were the only pitchers on steroids?
Right.
Come on, guys.
Exactly.
There's no way Pedro was doing steroids. That guy's way too small. Sorry. It wasn't happening.
I don't think maybe he needed to.
Maybe to
Greg
recover.
Greg Maddux wasn't for sure.
Maybe to recover.
I don't even know. Threw a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. Yeah. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about our boy, your friend, Tony Gonsolin.
Yeah, you guys scoffed me like a month ago when I told you he was coming back. So you guys didn't believe it.
So, all right. So, Tony Gonsolin's moving in the right direction. We're being told that he's going to make a start in the majors before the postseason.
Yeah, Colorado next week.
That's Colorado next week. It's not a...
that's a good matchup.
Roberts came out and said it's not a mandatory for him to start to be in consideration to be a part of the postseason, but it can definitely help right now because, you know... Dodgers' arms fall off when the wind blows. So
I prefer it.
And I really like Tony Gonsolin, not last year, but the year prior to that. He was hurt all last year.
He ain't no Pepio.
The year prior to that, Tony Gonsolin was in consideration for the Cy Young until he got hurt the last 2 weeks of the season. Ow. So he was incredible that year. And to get him, Tony Gonsolin's not known for having a 97-mile-an-hour fastball or anything like that. He's known for finesse. He's a pitch to contact pitcher. He controls the game. I really like his stuff, and he can strike out when he needs to when someone gets behind him on second base when they steal bases, Max. All right, so his last outing in
it's not me. It's Major League Baseball.
Triple A.
It's the Yale guys
in Oklahoma. His last performance, he went 3 innings pitch. He gave up 0 hits, 0 runs. He walked one, but he had 6 Ks, which is, that's a good stat. I mean, I don't even think even Yamamoto did that before he got put into the, before he came back to the majors. So that would be interesting. So what do you got in here, Max? So it says,
45 pitches, 10 swings and misses, right? Swing strikes, which is a good sign for a guy you said who pitches to contact, right?
Yeah, that's a really good sign.
Yeah, so not bad. Not bad at all.
I mean, we're going to need him.
I think we do. The problem is, I don't know if his stuff plays out of the bullpen, so I don't know what their plan would actually be for him. But, I mean, I like Tony Gonsolin. To have him have him sitting there in case something happens with Yamamoto, in case something happens with Walker Buehler, in case something happens with Knack. Knack might get rocked his next outing, and we might want to re-question some things. It's nice to have an option. Right now, I feel like there is no options. I feel like right now our four is Flaherty, Yamamoto, Walker Buehler, and Knack, and there's nobody else because everybody else is injured that you would even consider,
well,
right?
Well, Kershaw's coming back.
I have not heard a single thing for Kershaw coming back, definitely. I know that the last thing we talked about, unless you found something I didn't see, was that he pitched his 80-pitch bullpen session.
That's really good.
But they still haven't said if he's gone, like how he felt the next day. They haven't talked about if he was scheduled to start, it would be
I wouldn't start him against the Padres, actually.
If going off the 80, if you were to bounce at the 5-day mark after those 80 pitches, it would be against San Diego. I mean, why not throw him in the fire now? If you can't handle San Diego now, don't put him in the postseason. But
yeah, you got a point. That kind of hit me in the gut. You got a point there.
Oh man, just hit you right in the gut. That's right. That's
my point. Yeah. Well.
All right.
Here's something from a day ago. Clayton Kershaw threw a bullpen session of 32 to 34 pitches, right? But MGR manager David Roberts said Kershaw's injury left big toe is still not 100%. And it's preventing him from executing his pitches at more of a game speed. That is from 3 days ago.
Right. Well,
I'll give credit to Mike DiGiovanna. Giovanna? Is that a beat writer?
He's my soulmate.
I don't know your beat writer.
Speaking of souls, come on, Kershaw, we need you to find those orthotics. It'll help you pitch.
So his toe is not 100%, so it's messing with his, I'm going to use that word again, efficacy.
Oh man!
Wow,
you your big words again.
Wow.
So Robbie, that's not a good point. Not positive, huh?
No, that's not positive.
I still think that Gonsolin becomes your number three or four.
There you go, man.
Knack is on the outside looking in.
Knack's been pitching really good though, man. It's hard to bring Gonsolin back in and have him be your main guy.
What if you shelve Yamamoto for Gonsolin?
I think if Gonsolin has a good performance and they like what they see, I think he just becomes a piggyback option. I don't think he becomes a starting option. I think it's too little too late to get him in the mix, especially his pitch count's only at 45 right now, 50 or something like that.
You could piggyback him with Yamamoto.
Maybe. I think his stuff might play well after Yamamoto.
Yeah, and considering Yamamoto only went 3 innings last outing, maybe you piggyback them too. So you got...
Well, if Yamamoto does another 3 innings pitched only and still gives up 4 earned runs, that's a problem.
Yamamoto's
next start needs to be really good. And he's being stretched out. So what? He did 80 last time. So he should be able to do 90 his next start, and he should be at 100 before the playoffs.
Postseason, yeah.
If he's moving in the right direction, I still feel like we might hear something that we don't want to hear. But let's move on from that. All right. Once again. If you like what you're listening to, don't forget to click that like and subscribe. Help us spread like a virus.
Like a virus.
Max, you are up on the Player Spotlight ad.
Oh, Player Spotlight is brought to you by, where's that ad? Oh, Roger Brain Media, the up-and-coming podcast company delivering top-quality content across all podcast platforms. From sports entertainment to in-depth movie and TV review, Roger Brain Media is your go-to for fun and exciting content. Don't miss out. Visit their Patreon page at patreon.com/RotYourBrainMedia to support this dynamic new company and be part of something special. Subscribe now and get ready to have your brain truly entertained. Back to my fantasy league here.
Oh, geez.
I was looking at advanced metrics for Tony Gosling. Why do I keep trying to call him Ryan Gosling?
Because it sounds like it, right. Ryan Gosling, the actor. Back to your fantasy league, your little tidbit. One of you guys better pick up Sam Darnold.
I already have him.
Good pickup.
Cheater. Cheater.
He's a sleeper, dude. He's going to do good in that O'Connell offense.
Let's recap the Rocky series really fast because we want to talk about the meat and potatoes, which is the Padres. No offense to Colorado, but... Your bottom feeders.
Did you see Charlie, what's his name, retired today?
Blackman?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
He retired today?
Today.
Yeah, today he announced it.
Today. But he's going to finish the rest of the season, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I just saw that he's retiring.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I feel like he hasn't been in the league that long to retire.
No, he's been in the league. It's just he's playing for a horrible franchise.
I get that. All right. So Friday's game, Rockies 4, Dodgers 6. That was a bullpen game. The bullpen gave up 4 earned runs. They walked 2, struck out 15, and gave up 3 home runs. Ohtani went 3-for-4, had a home run, 2 RBIs. Teoscar Hernandez, 2-for-4 with a home run, 2 RBIs. And Paez was 2-for-4 with a home run and an RBI. I mean, overall, one thing that's a little bit scary, though, is Daniel Hudson, which we should probably start talking about him in the next. I would say Daniel Hudson needs to step up.
He needs to step into Robbie's office and get straightened out.
He needs to stop giving up home runs and just start becoming that, or go back to being the pitcher that he's supposed to be, which is a high leverage pitcher. Because right now, I wouldn't put that guy in a game. He has looked terrible all month. And if he doesn't bounce back against the Padres, I don't think there's a place for him on the postseason roster. But we'll see. Because if he can't get, if he can't at least make competitive pitches to a point where at least like he feels like they're in the game. Because right now, every single time he gets in the game, it's like a 2-run homer. It's driving me insane. Might be a little bit of over exaggeration, but I just reminded how pissed off I was when I saw him give up home runs again when I'm watching this highlight. That's right. We're on YouTube. Check it out. Boom. We do highlights and stuff on it. That's pretty much it for Friday's game. Let me go ahead and put up the highlights for
Saturday's game.
Saturday's game.
While you're doing that, Charlie played 14 seasons.
Hey, man, you had time. He's got time.
He's 38.
He earned that pension.
Get that pension.
Yeah.
Get that pension.
He got that 10 years in.
All right, let's move on. Saturday's game, disappointment. Rockies 6, Dodgers 3. Walker Buehler goes 5 1/3, 5 hits, 4 earned runs, 1 walk, 9 Ks. Did give up a homer, threw 89 pitches, 58 of them were strikes. It wasn't the performance that I was hoping for. Remember I said his second performance was going to be amazing. But it still was a competitive performance. A couple of those runs, if you watch the highlights, he had a play at home. He stumbled. Like, it was him who made the error coming off to get the run. He made a bad throw. Gavin Lux, there was a ball hit to him that he should have got. But other than that, I mean, it wasn't his best outing, but it wasn't a terrible outing. He still had 9 Ks. He commanded the strike zone pretty well. But, you know, hopefully his next performance, which will be against the Padres. I believe he plays the last game against the Padres.
I mean, the bright spot, Robbie, is he went 5 innings.
He went 5 innings. Seems like he stretched out. I mean, he went 6 innings, I think, his last start.
We need that.
He's out there. He's moving in the right direction, I feel like. This was a small step back, but it wasn't a Yamamoto start. Let's just say that.
I agree with that.
Ohtani went 1-for-3, had a stolen base. Betts 2-for-5, a home run, 2 RBIs. Hunter Fiducia. For those of you who don't know who Hunter Fiducia is, he's the backup catcher now because Barnes is hurt with his big toe. He went 1-for-4 with his first major league RBI.
By the way, Fiducia
is probably going to be on the postseason if Barnes' toe is still hurt. Doesn't mean he's going to see any playing time. Just means he'll be on the bench cheerleading. All right, so that does it for Saturday's game. Let's talk about the most exciting game, which is Sunday's game. Let me pull the highlights up for that really fast. As soon as we get some people going to that Patreon page, we can hire a guy who can produce this so I can just sit here and just enjoy. But until then.
And do what I'm doing.
Robbie's multitasking.
Checking out your fantasy league.
Checking out. You know what? if the Bills defense wasn't so good, I would have gotten more points out of Josh Allen. That's all I got to say. All right. Moving on. Sunday's game, Rockies 5, Dodgers 6. It's a nail-biter to the end. Yamamoto goes 3 innings pitch. We've already talked about him. 5 hits, 4 earned runs, 3 walks, 4 Ks, 79 pitches, 47 of them were strikes. The bullpen, actually, with the bullpen combined, there was 17 Ks between Yamamoto, Wild Thing Vaughn Kelly, Ryan Brazier, Casper, I can't say this guy's name. He's a rookie. Came in, he pitched 2/3 innings. Pretty darn good. Casper Cia.
Just call him Casper.
Casper the Friendly Ghost, and then tried him. Bullpen came in and locked it down. Ohtani, 4-for-5. Game-tying home run in the 9th inning. RBI, 2 stolen bases. Mookie Betts, 2-for-4. Game-winning home run in the 9th. RBI, Teoscar Hernandez, 1-for-3. Home run, RBI. Kike Hernandez, who played for Max Muncy, who was scratched last minute. 2-for-4, home run, 2 RBIs. Muncy was only scratched because he dove for a play the day before. And he's a big boy. When he lands on the dirt, it's a lot of friction. So he took a day off, apparently. Hopefully they said something to worry about. He'll be in the lineup against the Padres tomorrow. For the listeners, that would be today. That's it for the recap for, well, let's watch Kike's home run, which was amazing on the highlights.
That end of that game, that's why the Dodgers, I can't believe I want to say this as a Yankee fan, have to win the World Series, because all these amazing things that's happened this year with Ohtani and highlights like that, you need to put that in that championship video, you know, that package, you know, of highlights. That's just cool stuff, man.
I feel what you're saying. As a baseball fan. But here's my problem with it, though. The 10-run game was against the Marlins, and then you were talking about a game against the Rockies where it should not even have been this competitive.
No one's going to remember all of that stuff. They're just going to look at that, especially 10 years from now, no one's going to remember
that.
You
know what I've noticed?
It's just going to be awesome highlights in a championship season. Man, I'm not supposed to be the pessimist. You're the optimist over here, you and Mike. And you're
I'm getting nervous because the playoffs are coming. I need to see some stuff out of the Dodgers. I need to see some stuff out of them against the Padres.
Mike, so, talk to your boy.
You see that fire that Mike talks about? They need to show up. With that, so we're jumping in. Let's talk Padres. Let's talk comparisons.
Hold on, before you get there, series. I just thought, you know, I realized
what.
So much like we talk about in other sports, mainly football. You know, they always say some teams play down to their competition.
Yeah,
I think the Dodgers have that same problem.
Well, they
play up and play well against elite competition, but when they play a lesser team, it seems like we're always in a tough matchup or drop games we shouldn't.
That. All right. That's a good thing to say.
I mean, but anyway, I mean, we still need to win, of course, but it seems like these lesser teams that we should dominate and sweep, we struggle with. And I think maybe they think they're supposed to cruise through it, but
You're not wrong.
I think we play down to our competition.
And they probably play up too. It's like a little mini World Series for them.
Yeah, Bet said that they do play up. All right. Once again, don't forget to click the like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus. Go check out the Patreon page. Anyways, let's move on. Max, give us the breakdown. Give us the comparison for the Padres and the Dodgers.
You want the pitching matchups? We got game one, Michael King, former Yankee, 12-9, 3.06 ERA versus Landon Knack, 2-4, 3.7 ERA, game one tomorrow or today, you're listening.
Let's pause in this game for a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think Landon Knack, this is going to be the definitive game to show us what Knack can actually do in the playoffs, because this is a playoff series. The Dodgers, let's just say, because of the arrogance of the Dodgers right now, let's just say they're not going in this game thinking that way, which they better not be thinking that.
We only have three games in the division.
They better come in with fire. They have that swag you've been asking for, Mike, because you know the Padres are.
They don't have a choice.
The Padres are going to come in like it is their World Series already, and it's not the postseason.
And they can hit. They're number one in batting average, second in hits.
I've been skeptic of Knack. I feel like this is the game that could definitely turn the tide for us all to be a believer and make us feel confident of him being either the number four or the number three starter in the postseason. If he can come in and he can control the Padres, we don't need him to shut the Padres out. I don't need him to throw six scoreless innings. You know, if he can get five innings, two earned runs, maybe even three earned runs, keep him in the game or something like that, but be competitive throughout the game. And then the bullpen comes in and should do what they're doing. Like, that's really all I'm looking for right now out of Landon Knack. If he comes in, anything else above that is amazing. But if he goes past that, you know what I mean? Like, he gives up four and runs. He looks sketchy from the beginning, and he never finds his way, and they're just hitting him all over the place. We should be afraid of Knack in the playoffs. I'm saying it. I had to say it. Sorry. Move on.
No.
Don't apologize. I mean, this is a big series.
I know, but I like to keep people's hopes up. But at the same time, now we're in the playoffs, and it's time to make that turn. And we're looking at our four options and pitchers, and Knack was not one we were having a conversation about in the beginning of the season. Midway through the season, we weren't talking about him.
We haven't talked to him the whole second half of the season.
We weren't really considering him as a main option until August. Until the end of August, going into September.
But even then,
everyone's falling apart.
He's never been in our top four, ever, in our... No. Or as far as the rotations go.
No.
Also, in this series, you wanna because San Diego can pitch, right? They got good starting pitching.
Yep.
We're going to talk about that. And they have really they enhanced their bullpen during the trade deadline. So this is so much like a playoff series. You want your batters to be locked in as well, because in the playoffs, you face the best pitchers, the whole nine. So, you know, and it leads right into game two, where you have Dylan Cease with his filthy stuff versus Flaherty. This would be a game one. You know what I mean? So that's a really cool matchup. Cease has a 3.58 ERA and Flaherty a 3.04, like a boss ERA right there.
Well, Flaherty's last start there, Dodgers had such a huge lead. I feel like he took his foot off the gas and he gave up a couple runs. Remember the outing he had before that, he got knocked around. I don't think he even lasted four innings.
So it's a big one for him too.
It's a big one for him too to prove that he is basically the Dodgers number one now. And not to mention, like, Flaherty's pitching for that contract. Yeah. So if he wants an extension or if he wants to sign with the Dodgers or if he wants a big contract, these are the games that he has to perform in. It's great that you could be a workhorse through the regular season, but when push comes to shove and it's time to hit the playoffs, if you don't perform for the playoffs, you're losing millions of dollars if you're not that guy. How many times has a pitcher been mediocre in the regular season but became dominant in the playoffs? That guy gets a big contract still.
Yep. Yep.
So if it's reversed, it gets pulled back a little bit. So
yeah, this series
hopefully
is
hopefully Flaherty shows up.
Yeah, this series is so cool because, you know, game one, you have two young pitchers. Game two, you have, you know, right now, quote unquote, their ace. And game three, you have two pitchers who have postseason success in Musgrove.
Waxy ears.
3.95. And Walker Buehler, we all know how much of a stud he's been in the playoffs. So this is a really cool series.
Yeah,
it's a playoff series.
I mean, every single one of these games has something to prove. And I like the pitching matchups all the way through. I really hope that, you know, I mean, it'd be great if we win every single game. And, you know, if we take two out of three, that's good. Yeah.
That's
if we take one out of three, it's going to be extremely disappointing. But as long as our pitchers show up and they can show that they can handle this offense, I think that we'll be fine if our offense can actually kick into gear by the playoffs.
We need dominant pitching.
We need dominant everything, dude. Dominant pitching is not going to do it. Like, we've talked about this. We need it all, man. Last year, we only scored 6 runs total against Arizona. If we had dominant pitching, we wouldn't have won because the offense didn't show up. You got Shohei Ohtani now. He replaces, what's his name? Who was the DH last year? People are listening already yelling at me. He's with the Mets now. He was with Boston. You know what I'm talking about, Max. He's your favorite guy.
The veteran from Martinez.
Martinez.
Yeah, yeah.
JD Martinez.
Yeah. Like, we replaced JD Martinez with Shohei Ohtani.
Ooh, big upgrade.
I mean, it's an upgrade for sure, but JD Martinez had a pretty decent year last year. It was not a bad year.
He's had a great career. He's showing his age this season.
Yeah, this season I feel so. But last season
he had a great.
I feel like if the Dodgers didn't get Shohei, they would have re-signed him because he had a great year.
Yeah, he only signed for $10 million.
How am I going to rephrase this? Let me think about this. Where's the Jeopardy thing?
He wants to come back to you.
So, hey, listen. So, I remember what I was going to say.
Go ahead.
Epiphany. Is that a big word?
And you're complaining about me. Look at you throwing out big words now.
You guys are adorable.
Oh, man. It's because we have, I don't know, we just have that football chemistry.
We're simpatico, man.
We are. I don't think a hot offense justifies a lackluster pitching for us. We needed, like, pitch lights out. I don't think we can afford to just rely on our offense.
No, but if you were to look at paper, if you were to take the Dodgers offense, you take the Dodgers pitching staff, starting pitching, and you were to look at them side by side, you would say the strength of this team right now is the offense.
I agree with that, but
if the offense doesn't show up, it's not going to matter. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You look at the lineups from the top to the bottom. We can go through it just to make us all happy. I'm going from Ohtani to Betts to Friedman to Teoscar Hernandez to Max Muncy to Will Smith to Tommy Edman to Gavin Lux to Miguel Rojas, who's had a really good offensive year for him. For a lot of shortstops, actually, he's had a really good year.
He's batting .287.
That lineup is stacked from top to bottom. Like, they should be able to handle good pitching to at least get you 3 to 4 runs throughout the game. At least 3 or 4 runs. At least. If they're not doing that, then this offense is underachieving. And that's already, and I already think that's underachieving in the postseason for this offense.
Four to five, and, 3 to 4 runs isn't going to win it. We need like 7 to 8 runs.
So now you need your offense.
That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
But welcome. The reason why we need to put up 7 to 8 runs is because of lackluster pitching right now.
Yeah. That's why if you look at the batting lineup, look at the starting rotation, people are going to say the strength is that for sure.
I agree with you.
By a lot.
I'm not saying that.
But your bullpen is strong though, right?
Yeah.
As long as Joe Kelly is not there and Daniel Hudson remembers how to like be a dominant pitcher again, then sure.
I agree with you. I mean, we can all agree that the offense is the strength of this team. But we need some pitching to step up and really pitch lights out still.
Look, I think you'll
that's
be
all
right
I'm getting at.
Because of the bullpen. Remember when Kansas City won the World Series and it was because of their bullpen?
Yeah.
You know, you guys have enough pitching to give you 4 or 5 solid innings, and then you can throw out guys with filthy stuff like Trannon and his ridiculous slider, yeah. And then you got Kopech. I mean,
I like Kopech a lot.
You guys can shorten the game. Like, all you have to, your pitcher needs to do is give you just 5, and then you could just shorten the game. Like, yeah. And that's huge in the playoffs.
If Vesia comes in playing like a beast, we'll be all right. Anyway.
And then you have other, you got guys who can piggyback, so you could say, well, Yamamoto's giving me 4, and then you got a guy, what would you guys say? Gosselin comes in, gives you 2 innings, and then you go to that bullpen, and it's lights out.
What do you think, Robbie? How do you think this series is going to go?
I think the Dodgers, I think the Dodgers are going to find that intensity you've been talking about, Mike.
That swag.
They're going to take 2 out of 3. And the game that they
And
the game that they do lose, it's going to be a really close game.
This
is going to be a playoff.
I like that. Freaking call. 2 out of 3, Robbie.
Playoff.
Let's bring
intensity.
It.
Intensity. And I really hope when we do our next podcast Thursday night, we are talking how good we are feeling now going into the playoffs because of the way the Dodgers performed against San Diego. Because if they do not perform well against San Diego, we're going to be kind of, you know.
I'll walk you guys back off the ledge.
Walk us off the ledge. You've been a Yankee fan for the last 15 years.
I like the 283. I like the confidence, Robbie.
All right. I think that's going to do it for this episode of Talking Dodgers.
I think it's great for the Dodgers. I think it's great. They're going to ride this all the way to the World Series. Because every year you guys have clinched, you know, 3 months in advance, and you guys coast and then get caught with your pants
caught
down.
Caught slipping
in the playoffs. Now you're playing intense baseball heading into the playoffs, which is what you want. It's gonna help you guys out.
You know what's funny is what you said early on. One of my very first episodes with you guys was Max had mentioned. Do you think they should be in a tight pennant race?
Yeah.
In order to a divisional race.
Yeah.
In order to keep them like playing hot and having some swag and have something to play for towards the end of the season.
Urgency.
Urgency. Max, it's coming to fruition. I mean, this is a big series.
I'm telling you, they're going to use it and go all the way to the World Series.
I want to I almost want to call for a sweep, but that's a bold prediction.
You're a bold dude. Call it.
I mean, that would put That would put the baby brothers in their place.
Call it. I'm waiting for you. Call it. Don't chicken out, man.
Huh.
Call it, Mike.
We're doing it. We're calling for a sweep. Let's go. Let's go.
Lock it in. Sweep.
Come on, Knack. Knack's going to shut him down.
There you go.
Show him what's up.
There you go.
We're calling for a sweep.
Battle of the bats. Battle of the guns.
Oh, man, dude. Was like, I just blew on the dice and rolled them.
Boom. And guess what? The Yankees going to sweep the Orioles as well.
I don't think that's going to happen. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of Talking Dodgers. Thanks so much for listening. If you've gone this far, you must be a fan. Please go check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/RogerBrainMedia. All of your contributions help us create new content. We've got new shows we're going to be starting at some point. We're just trying to figure out the time to do it, but they are really good, I promise you. Please click the like and subscribe. Help us spread like a virus.
Like a virus.
Go Dodgers, go. Let's go for a big
Let's
sweep.
Go Dodgers, sweep.
And we will catch you guys next time.
Have a good one.
Maybe I'll watch some of those games. I got excited thinking about it. It's almost like a playoff series.